This is Spiritually Speaking on Eden AM 1350, incorporating Just Ask Janet and Angel's Touch.
And good morning. You listening to Spiritually Speaking. I'll just bring the music levels down while I talk above it, otherwise you can't hear me. Hello, 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 everyone. Hello, Janet.
Good morning and namaste.
Janet's doing all her paperwork. And good morning to our guest in studio, Amanda.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, such a pleasure.
And to our listener out there, it's Spiritually Speaking time, the time where you can sit back, relax, kick back, take your shoes off, get a cup of coffee. Yeah, I know it's not necessarily good for you. Although 2 weeks ago, Dr. Sani was telling us how caffeine can actually be very good for us. So grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a bun or something, and get yourself relaxed and in the mood to listen to some different stuff for a change. We, you know, this world is so full of frenetic energy. It's nice to talk about other energy. So, Amanda, what we do on the program is we do a little bit of a blurb on what you are all about, and then we jump back to Janet. Unfortunately, Angela from Angel's Touch can't be with us again today. Janet will do our Stone and Colour of the Week, and then we'll jump back to the discussion of your modality and what you're about and what you've come to tell us today. So, Amanda, fire away.
So, am I introducing myself?
Yeah, well, you. Yes, what is your surname?
It's Gifford.
Gifford, okay. Yes. And you do a thing called Family Constellation?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Have I got it right?
I've got a master's in...
Oh, I'm going to stop you there, Amanda. Okay. Pick up the other mic. That one's doing some funny things, please, if you don't mind. Okay, and let's just hear. Chat away.
So, is that better?
Fantastic, okay. Much better. Awesome, right.
Can I give you my background?
Please do, yes.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
So, I started off in Cape Town, mm-hmm. doing drama.
Ah, ditto.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
But Joburg drama,
okay.
Yeah. We won't talk about when. Okay.
No, we
Should
won't
we?
Talk
no,
about
No, we
when.
Won't talk about the year. It was last century. Can you believe it?
It was many lifetimes ago, it yes. feels like, for me.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting the way that I got into drama. I was sitting in the religious studies class on the
yeah.
first day of the first year, and a friend of mine came in and said, "This surely cannot be what you're looking for. Come to the drama class." So on my first day at UCT, I went off to the drama group, and I loved it. So I pursued drama as a kind of healing modality, in a sense.
No, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, but you were involved in a sort of religious studies, yes, and you went across to drama.
I was sitting in religious studies as like a possibility for
right,
one of
okay.
my you know, things to study
right.
at university, and then someone else said to me, come to drama.
And those two things together can be quite interesting, I know, because I came from a very religious background or spiritual background and went into drama, and yeah, challenging, a little bit challenging, but also
what
awesome.
What was your religious background?
Well, I am Catholic,
okay.
But very, very into my religion and church and spirituality, and drama students don't necessarily follow that very much, but that's another story. I interrupted you, carry on.
Yeah, so just found a lot of healing in the drama line, you know, it's through the creativity.
Yes, yes.
And then there was a whole lot of people who wanted to go into drama therapy as a methodology,
all
and
right.
there was nothing here in South Africa. So I went to San Francisco to study. I studied,
wow.
and I did a master's in psychology, majoring in drama therapy at the California Institute of Integral Studies, which was very exciting. For 4 years I was
Gosh.
There.
Okay.
And the first time I saw anything about family constellations was there in San Francisco. And I didn't know what it was, but it sounded interesting.
Mm.
But the school there, the institute, was very much about consciousness, science and consciousness and arts all working together. So that became my my obsession, my area of interest, you know.
So what is family constellations?
So family constellation, it came from, it's based on the tradition of the Zulus.
Okay.
And there was someone called Bert Hellinger who came out from Germany in the 50s. And he came out as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he studied with the Zulus and started to learn some of their traditional family systems and working with the ancestors.
Because they're very expressive and very dramatic as well.
Yeah, and he found it extremely insightful. And so he was studied with them for 17 years. And then took the information back to Europe.
How many years?
17.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he hybridized it, essentially. Mixed African traditional wisdom, and specifically the wisdom of the Zulus, with the European psychologies.
Okay.
And so what you get is a mix of what we've got here with the work with the Zulus and their ancestors and Western psychology methods.
Right. And what does it do?
So essentially you're working with the field of the family and the system of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, I'll talk about it traditionally and then I'll talk about its applications because I've gone into an applied use of it.
Mm.
But basically it's called intergenerational healing, which means that you can work several generations back with your family tree, and if there was trauma anywhere in your family line, then you can work on it through this methodology.
Okay.
You can tap into an area where there might have been trauma.
So you deal with past lives then, or past life regression? Or
No, it's not anyone's past life, it's you and your family tree.
Okay.
And we tap into it by using representatives in the group to access what might be in your field of
right.
this life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically you are helping somebody get through anything that they are going through in their life now, and issues that might have happened in the past to help them move on and to just spiritually get to a higher plane in our lives now. Three
yeah.
families and the family tree.
Yeah, so the understanding is that you carry the burdens or the energy of
right,
the generations
right.
that came before you, and so if something's going on for you now, say a money issue or a health issue or a family issue, it may not come from you. It may
okay.
come from unresolved business from your
that you carry
parents
with you, basically.
Or from their parents or whatever
yeah.
might have
yeah.
happened before them. And if you give a little bit of space to start working with that unfinished business, then you can create a flow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right. I'm understanding now. And I read up a little bit about this a while back, not realizing that this is what it was. Carrying, you know, when you said about financially now, it suddenly, a connection was made in my mind to a story I heard about somebody with their father. I'm digressing and we can go into it just now. But now it's making sense to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Janet, let's go to the stone and color of the week and see if we can integrate that back into what we're doing here. Amanda, just to give you a bit of a background, Janet did this list a year ago, and every single week the color, the stone, the affirmations are exactly, well, not exactly always, but they link very much with our guest. So we're putting it to the test now.
Okay.
Pressure.
Azurite and malachite links to the number one energy, and then number one links to fresh starts and starting over, and the primary color is blue and green. So with azurite and malachite, the energy of the combination helps one to meditate by going deep within in order to be reborn into the light, the change being profound or minor as is necessary. Azurite and malachite generally allows one to reach into the inner depths without fear, so that one is sustained, absolved, and is aware of the genesis of all time. It produces a flow to action and a willingness towards flexibility. It also assists in dissolving egocentric characteristics, dispelling conceit, arrogance, and vanity. It also brings comfort by calming anxiety associated with dis-ease and allows the thought process to follow its course. This enables one to render emotionally charged thoughts effectively.
Wow, it does a lot. What are our affirmations?
The affirmations are, I no longer fear the unknown and I am of the light.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith in the universe. I allow my most inner core to be healed and well aligned. I am a clear channel to receive guidance from my guides and angels. I accept all necessary change and allow any vacuums to be filled with light. And lastly, I am happy, I am content, and I am fulfilled.
Sure, it's a nice one. Do you use stones and crystals and colors in your healing, Amanda?
You can use them in a constellation, for example. So you could ask someone, if you didn't have people there as representatives of the family members, you can use stones to represent those people, and you can move the stones around. But I haven't worked with that
much. Okay.
But anything, you can be very creative with it. You can draw tarot cards for the different people and see what the readings are for your great-grandfather or your...
Wow.
So you can integrate all the aspects of the different modalities.
Yeah, and then see what comes,
I haven't experienced family constellation, but I've had quite a few discussions linked to people who have been through the process or processes through the years, and it's very, very interesting. The one friend of mine, she's in her late 60s, but at some point they went for family constellation, and apparently people were placed in strategic positions, and the biological family wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, and apparently the facilitator asked a question linked to her father, and the person who was standing and representing her father actually fainted.
This is what I don't understand. I've heard this and I don't get
it's
how
very
that
intriguing.
Works. How is that possible?
So I want to just introduce a bit of the science behind it.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Please.
So Rupert Sheldrake is a biologist, and he wrote and researched the morphogenetic field. Have you heard of Rupert Sheldrake?
No.
So he's fairly significant in the scientific community. And his work around the morphogenetic field is that everything has a coded field of information around it,
mm-hmm.
into which it unfolds and grows. So, for example, how do our organs know how to become a liver, and how to differentiate? How does a little tiny seed know how to grow into whatever it's growing?
Mm.
Well, it's growing into a kind of coded field that has a memory around it. And it's almost like an archetype. An archetype is also like a coded field. So being a mother has kind of codes and information in it. And we have that around our family and around ourselves. So we are, in a sense, a sea of consciousness and energy and information. Each one of us.
So that makes sense.
It's linked to the esoteric term vibration.
Yeah, so we are made up of different frequencies and sets of information, and we each have our own vibrational fingerprint.
Okay, I like that. I like what you're saying. A code. We coded to. It makes us our individual, but it's part of our makeup.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so
then does that link in with the comment? So DNA code.
Yes.
Because that's also quite scientific then.
Okay. Yeah, and I'd also like to talk about DNA and epigenetics as well, because the DNA is not the blueprint, and that's important to know.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll talk about that just now. But so we each have an individual and unique sort of fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
So when you invite a family constellation field in, you actually can tap into the codes of those people that are being represented, so that information of that person becomes available in the room to everybody that's there.
Okay. Awesome.
So you're tapping in directly into the consciousness of the people that are being represented, and the Zulus might say the ancestors actually are in the room that you just can't see them, but they're just at a higher vibrational frequency, but that you can tap in and tune in.
Yeah.
So can the biological family be there or not there? Which is the preference, either or?
Yeah, it's you can do that. You can do that work. It's different when
the family's
there.
Really?
It's probably better to not have them there.
I suppose because there's codes there already. There's preconceived emotions and ideas that you're trying to break through. I mean, I would have thought it's better for the family to be there.
I had the same thought process.
Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially trying to look for the unconscious, unspoken patterns that are running in a family system. So it's not always so easy to surface unconscious, you know, loyalties and background information and stuff like that when the family's there, because you're trying to source from the subconscious information that might not be readily available.
Yeah.
And while that information gets surfaced, then the flow of love in the family system starts to move again.
Okay,
that's interesting. So if a family needs help, so you start off with one, and then would you look to
one
then work
person.
With them individually going forward?
Oh, one family.
Yeah,
okay.
One family. Yes.
Yeah.
You can work with a group together, but the way that I do it is that you'd work, because you need to get individual intentions aligned. So what you want in your family system may not be the same as what somebody else in your family system wants.
Yeah.
So then I'd want to work one individual.
I've got a caricature of a bun fight.
I know.
So it avoids that. Okay.
Yeah, but it is possible to do the family together. But
so you would actually not even have. I'm kind of really very unaware of this modality.
Mm.
So I'm sounding quite unsure. I would have thought then my family, there are five of us. There's myself, my husband, and three children. And I would have thought we'd all be there. Are you saying you're not all there?
No.
Take one person at a time, and then you would have other people who stand in as, say, so my husband was sitting with you, and then there would be somebody representing me and somebody representing my three children.
You don't have to know the person.
So
it's
that's
a symbolic stand-in.
Okay.
Yeah, they're called representatives. And we'd work with whoever comes in to work with a theme, because it's a conflict resolution based modality.
Yeah.
So somebody comes and they say they're having this issue in the family. Then I do an interview with them. What is the issue? Where is it at? What's going on? And then we'd use representatives in the room. They would set them up in a kind of symbolic representation of where they feel they're at. And according to the direction that the people are facing and where they're placed, it gives us a good indication of the dynamics that are going on in the family.
So you're guided as to where to place the person as a facilitator.
They place them
really?
In the field.
This brings a picture to me of like if a child goes to play therapy and the therapist says, draw your family. And they then will draw dad maybe behind the house because dad travels a lot.
Yeah.
And so cross, because and that's kind of what you're saying is that person places the representatives the way they see them.
Mm.
Okay.
So where they feel them in the field will have meaning. So the direction that they're facing, the distance, etc., will show what's happening with that particular family field.
So you essentially run the risk of opening up a huge can of worms, actually.
Yeah, you do. You open up many cans of worms.
Where do you get your representatives from?
You just create a group and you invite people to come and support.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it then is a group therapy session,
yes,
as opposed to one person coming to you. Would you then do a representation for each person's family? So you all swap? Or is that how it works?
You can have,
really,
in a workshop setting, you can have five people doing constellations.
Okay.
And so once I've finished doing a piece of work with you and your family,
mm-hmm,
then somebody else can come and do a piece of work with them and their family.
Right.
And whoever's left in the room can represent whoever's needed.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You switch. So. Yeah.
I know we're firing questions at you, but it's fascinating to me. How does the person then comes through to the representative? How does that happen, that connection?
So you just tune in basically to the person that you're representing. And because, like I said earlier, we are all sitting and living within this interconnected sea of information, consciousness, it's not that far away, information. So we know from quantum physics that there's this concept of non-locality. I'm not sure if you know what happened with quantum physics. There was this breakthrough.
I'm not very au fait with quantum physics.
Basically, what happened about 100 years ago is with the discovery of the principles of quantum physics, they discovered four principles about the nature of reality.
Yeah.
And the one was called the dual nature of light, which means light is both a wave and a particle.
Mm-hmm.
There's entanglement, which means that we're completely entangled in each other's systems. So you just tune in basically to the person that you're representing. And because, like I said earlier, we are all sitting and living within this interconnected sea of information, consciousness, it's not that far away, information. So we know from quantum physics that there's this concept of non-locality. I'm not sure if you know what happened with quantum physics. There was this breakthrough.
I'm not very au fait with quantum physics.
Basically, what happened about 100 years ago is with the discovery of the principles of quantum physics, they discovered four principles about the nature of reality.
Yeah.
And the one was called the dual nature of light, which means light is both a wave and a particle.
Mm-hmm.
There's entanglement, which means that we're completely entangled in each other's systems. We imprint on each other, and it doesn't matter where we are in the universe, we are always connected.
Okay.
And non-locality is another quality of the universe according to quantum physics. And non-locality means anything that I do here has an effect everywhere.
Okay, okay.
And then the fourth quality is the observer effect, which means that what we look at and how we think and what we expect and what we measure for has an outcome in the field.
Okay.
So what's important about that is that when a representative stands in the room and taps into someone who may be gone, then we understand from quantum physics that there's no such thing as gone.
Yeah,
it's
energy,
just,
energy.
You
when
know,
you say gone, do you mean passed into spirit?
May have been passed away,
yeah.
May not be there physically, okay. That kind of thing. There is no real time and space in consciousness.
Okay. Is this at all linked to remote viewing?
Yes. So the remote viewers access information non-locally as well by tapping into a different state of consciousness. So they would go into their subconscious mind, which would, you know, people have got so many different meanings for different things in this field. I mean, that's the one thing that I think is such a landmine in the spiritual world, is that someone says subconscious mind and they mean everything from the past, and someone else says subconscious mind and they mean super consciousness.
Yeah,
you know,
that's where I'm getting
things.
Stuck, I think, in the last few months, is there's so much there and so much is the same but so much is different, and it's confusing. It
yeah,
really
it is confusing. So I think that's one of the things that you have to do on this path, is you have to cross-reference, you have to speak many languages.
Yeah.
So that you know when someone says, you know, oh, it's all in the mind, as if that's terrible, you know, and then someone else says, no, you must focus your mind, you know, it's like you have to put it into some huge map of the territory.
Definitely.
Anyway, I'm not sure if we got lost there with the question, but...
No, not at all.
I just would like to share... it's like having a regression is what, you know, some people go for a current life regression. They go back to when they're young, or, you know, in esoteric terms, as a past life regression. So it's very interesting, and obviously the connection is made energetically, but because you ask the person, the individual, to place the people, and that's like loading the bases and putting that like connected grid together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you unpacking the field of their family as it sits? So that grid of the family, or that coded field of memory, starts to emerge, and then you work with what is present. So if somebody places a child between the parents, say for example, then you start to look at, well, why is that happening?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
That would be an interesting dynamic, that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
I think, I'm sure it does. I think all three of my children would be in the middle.
And how long would a family of five being represented by one of the family members, how long would that session take? Is it open-ended until it's done? Does it run the course on that day? Or do you pick it up later on? How does it flow?
There's different ways of doing it. So the way that I like to work with a person is I do an initial session with them, looking at where they're at with themselves, where they'd like to be. And then I work with a specific applied constellation method, you could say, constellating the future, which we can talk about.
Okay, so is that like, okay, I'm going to give away my age maybe here.
Yeah. Oh, please. We're all,
and that,
we're
you
all
know,
energy.
We had aptitude tests when I was younger. would you link in with that? Could you work that in to help someone to focus on where they'd like to go forward to in a career type of environment or not?
I suppose we could. I've never thought of it. It's more just getting a sense of what the person's outcome would be, or if I was, you know, this fairy godmother and I could wave a wand, what would your miracle outcome be? Mm. So the miracle outcome is one of the concepts in a constellation, because it's important to
That's
know what
nice.
A person's
I like
wishing
that
for.
Idea, yeah.
You know,
strive for that. Yeah.
And then once you've got a sense of where a person's going, you can work backwards towards how to get them there. Mm. And that gives you clues and hints as to the interventions that are needed.
So it's very motivational then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose, sorry, Janet, like to find out what's stopping them from getting there.
Mm.
And that's part of the family constellation is what are the problems, the stumbling blocks,
yeah,
the blockages.
So if somebody comes with a health issue, for example, and I say to them, okay, well, where would you like to be? And, you know, they can't name that they would like to be healthy. If they don't want to be healthy, then there's no point in me doing a piece on health with them, because they've got a loyalty to disease.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so they talk about that. In
it's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, they talk about that in constellations. They say, and you know, until death does part kind of thing, you know, and that your disease can really, you can have, what's it called?
Well, while you're remembering, I think it's also that possibly people don't have faith that they can get rid of that disease or that affliction or whatever. You know, nowadays we're just plagued with a lot of things that are caused by stress, and we just think that's our lot in life. So it's not necessarily that they don't want to, it's that they just think, I'm not going to. You know, modern day stuff tells us we probably won't, and we'll have to end up being on medication our whole lives. So it's a nice thought for you, what you're saying. See yourself past that inflection. Like, imagine yourself healed.
Yeah, so I want to also at some point talk about this idea that the genes are not the blueprint, because that
Tell
very
us.
Much came with the discovery of quantum physics,
okay.
that they started to see that energy, you know, isn't, and consciousness is a product of our observation and the way that we think and what we perceive. So Bruce Lipton was really a founding father in bringing that forward, epigenetics.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks about it, and he talks about perception being the key that unlocks the gene expression. So in the past, with the past paradigm of physics, we used to think about we are locked into this genetic expression, because that's how our parents were.
Yeah.
And that we're a victim, essentially, of our genes. But that's not at all the case. With the research into epigenetics, it's very much you as the observer on the field working with your own consciousness, your own perception. You are reorganizing your coded field, your memory field that sits around you, that is you, all the time. And so as you think or perceive something, so you're reorganizing your genetic expression. So you are able to be free of your parents' genetics, but you have to become aware of what patterns you might be carrying unconsciously that is the same as them. All loyalties that you don't want to give up.
Wow.
Do you have, if some, look, it can be very, I alluded to the fact that can of worms. So people, it can be very, very confrontational. So do you then step into like a more supportive space after the fact if they're actually starting to fall apart emotionally? Or do you guide, you don't, or do you not allow it to get to that point?
You know, I try and work towards a contained situation before I start.
Okay.
So I like to work, that's why I often do the initial assessments, which are about 90 minutes. So looking at where you're at, where you want to be, how to get you there. And then when I set up a constellation, it would very much keep your goals in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there was emotion, although, you know, there can be, but if you're in a lovingly contained situation, then it can be sometimes just a really healing experience.
Okay, so it's a confront, release, heal.
Yeah, it's not so much confrontational.
Really?
Constellations. Not so
like
much.
Okay.
No. It's quite... you know, I've done work for many years with constellations. I did actually 4 years of training here in South Africa.
Yeah.
Through the Family Constellations Institute about, just trying to think how long ago, I think it was 10 years ago now. And they did a lot of work sort of deep into the historic field of people, and we worked with the war and this and that, and you know, like, and I stopped doing that for a while because I used to find it very tiring and actually
training.
quite difficult in some ways to work back into the field of trauma with people.
So what would you do in that instance? Refer them to someone else to do a constellation with, or?
Yeah, I would either refer them to someone else, or, you know, just do what I felt I can, that's my area of interest.
So did you not find that then confrontational, that kind of work with people? You know, we were talking about, Janet had said to you, is it confrontational? You said, no, it's not really.
Doesn't
it's
go there.
Not at
so
all. Then.
No, I'm just trying to understand what you mean by confrontational. Like, what in your imagination?
Like having an emotional meltdown.
Because I think
you
think if there's issues with family, it's like you've done this to me. Exactly. Let's talk about maybe when couples have been unfaithful to each other or something like that, or there's drugs involved. There's a lot of anger and hurt. And would that come out there, or would it be
guilt,
or would it be something like I can imagine people who come to you for that are possibly much more open. So therefore, maybe there isn't that much anger. I don't know. I think anger is maybe the word. Anger and resentment, or not.
Yeah. I mean, the way that a constellation is set up, there is often emotion, definitely. And that can be, that's contained in such a way. Because it's very much like you get someone to tap in to the situation, and then they step back and watch it. So they are watching their story over there.
Okay.
They're not in it.
So they don't interact with the people. Okay, they watch
clever.
Like
yeah.
a play,
yes.
basically.
Yeah, so you watch yourself. Someone is chosen as a representative of you in your own family system. And you choose your family, and you sit back and watch as that dynamic unfolds. And then as the facilitator makes the choices around what to do with the field, you can go through emotional catharsis.
But that's very clever because
but it's a bit
you're
distant.
Not in that, in the energy. So it's not feeding off you or you're not feeding off it. So you're a witness, did you call it?
Yeah, you can sit and witness.
I'm actually completely understanding the link with drama now because you're like a director to a play. But you're standing back and you're directing the spiritual and emotional energy connection here.
Yes. So
and
looking for the greatest flow of love in service of what that person wants.
Okay.
You know, and what would be best for the family field. And there is emotion, and often the representative, the client will come in to their family field near the end once it's a little bit more resolved, and then they might be asked to say some cathartic lines or look at someone in the family or say something that they haven't said before.
Would they involve themselves a lot? So say for instance this session with the representatives lasted for half an hour. How long does it normally last for?
Can be, it depends on what's happening. It depends, can be up to 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So within that time, would the person then get involved again? Would they, for instance, say to you, no, Amanda, that's not how it's happened. My mother is not like that.
Yes.
She
yeah.
would, and they'd redirect it.
So I'm always checking with a person. This is what's coming up in the field, because basically you get the representatives who are representing family members to tap into what it is that they're picking up.
Mm.
Then that information is surfaced and offered into the collective.
Okay.
And then you check. You always check
right.
back with
That's
the client.
That's a lot of intuitive energy.
It's intuitive work, and is this, how does this feel for you, and does this feel right? And so it's never something, because I think family constellations was given a really bad name in terms of, this is definitely what's happening in the field. And then the person, the client is just left.
Like, that's not true.
in a sense, out of control.
It's like having a bad reading where you're like, this is not my life.
Any modality is as effective and disciplined as the person working with the information.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel, that the client is number one, and what's happening for them and checking in with them, because in a sense it's really their inner world that you have to give priority to.
You're acting out their life, basically.
Yeah, and so you keep checking in, how is this for you? Is this how it is? That kind of thing.
Wow. How do you know that it's... I don't know if I'm going to explain this correctly, but you've got your representatives and they are tuning in with the real people. So they are filtering that information. And then you've got your client. How do you know what they are giving you is the right information as opposed to what the real information is?
You mean the representative?
Yeah. Because, we've all got a very... We can have a very different idea of reality.
Hmm.
I could come to you and say, my grandmother was... a wonderful woman, and actually she wasn't really she was, but and so therefore what is being represented is not what my memory or idea of that is. How do you reconcile those two?
So for me I work in a way that it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. We just use it to surface information and allow that process to unfold. So if someone's picking up something in the field and you do a process around that and that surfaces something, if it's not completely right, it's like if that person's still alive, then you can make an adjustment in the session.
And I suppose it's just you're dealing with your client, so you're doing what helps the client. So it's their perspective that actually really does matter.
Yeah, you're just trying to surface information in the field. So basically it's like cooking, sort of. You're putting this family field into this alchemical pot, to allow stuff to be surfaced and allow information to come up, which is then offered back to the client in a way that allows their process to continue. So I've always got an eye on what it is that they want to get out, what their transition is, what their healing would be out of it, and then you keep offering it back to them.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a perfect field, although it pretty much is. Most of the time it's just exceptional information that comes through. It's just unbelievable, like uncanny.
Really?
A representative would be representing someone whose mother's died, and the representative starts speaking words that the mother used to say.
That's hectic.
That no one would ever know.
Yeah.
They don't even know the person.
It's and almost it's like they're channeling.
It's a channeling. It's a spontaneous channeling. But and we can... I know you said you don't like the fact that we can all do it or something. No, you didn't say that. But you said, no, everyone's being a channel these days. But in this field,
no,
we kind of are all being that.
No, but the thing is, we're all psychic because we all have a sixth sense and we all have an intuition.
Yeah.
So it in my understanding, in my opinion... The intuitive nature and channeling, as it's a very topical term right now, for being guided, etc. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, so everyone can do it. And we don't even realize half the time that we are tapping into information and feelings that might not even be ours. You know, sometimes you're carrying other people's feelings.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I've got a question. So from an esoteric perspective, okay, there's a setting the intentions, holding the energy, providing protection, whether it's through affirmation, prayer, or crystals, or however it works. So you are holding the energy. Do you just, by sheer thought and focus and intention, set that protective veil or environment? Are you conscious of it, or is it...
Or do you meditate or say pray beforehand, or how do you do it?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time preparing the field. So I'll work in a specific way with a client that makes sure that I'm happy with the intervention that we're doing. I'm not just going to go into the field and do anything. So I sit and I make sure that this feels good and right and happy.
Intervention's a nice word to conceptualize it.
Yeah. And it is quite a scary concept to think that we're channeled and channeling and in tune with other people all the time and their energies, and it's wonderful when it's positive, but it's scary when it's negative, you know. And like you said, many years ago we kind of grew up thinking that's it, it's your DNA, you are what you are, it is what it is, get on with it. And now I think everybody's calling it the awakening, hey Janet, where we are being so made aware of so much more that's out there, and it can be overwhelming and quite nerve-wracking.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you ever get? I mean, do you ever have an experience where you think, "Whoa, this is not cool"? How do you know? It's what I talk about when you go to somebody who is going to connect you with past, you know, people who have passed on. It makes me very nervous what you're dealing with and what you're opening yourself up to. Have you ever had a difficult experience like that?
Not really.
Comes from
I've got
a very learned and well-placed, informative and well-studied, etc. place. So she's not going to be irresponsible.
Yeah. I mean, I've done 15 years to 20 years of deep, deep esoteric, you know, spiritual
study,
and I know, I really understand what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
So you can't. Well, you can't mess around, put it that way.
Or dabble.
So I'm very cautious of what I'm setting up. I make sure I know where I'm going. You know, I do actually do. Sometimes there's lots of different ways to apply and work in the field, because consciousness is so open. You can go in any direction. You can go time. You can go lifetimes as well. So I actually have done past life work with constellations. So
that must be fantastic and fascinating.
It's very interesting, because with a constellation you're working with the destiny of the soul and conscience. And sometimes there might be a destiny in a family where someone's playing out something not even from this lifetime.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not... I'm cautious as to when I would do that.
So would you accept referrals for that?
Yes.
Because, like, I do past life regression, but it's like one-on-one. And if...
I do one-on-one work as well.
But there's some people who just are not ready to do that. So a past life regression linked to family constellations may work better.
It's so interesting, because you can... You can allocate a space in the room that represents your time between lives.
Okay.
And then you can get out the contract for this life, and maybe you can get out the information that you might have, you know, had
That's
with another person. You can look into your soul's contract or your soul's desire for this life. And then that can create a lot of clarity in terms of what's going on for you, which way is forward for you. You know, if somebody's very stuck, well, what is it that you're here to learn? What did you intend?
And where do you work from?
I work from Bryanston. I share an office with Willem Smuts at Walida, at Naturally Yours. And I work also in, you know, I go to home visits, and I work also in Rosebank a bit.
Willem Cosmodance.
Vellum Cosmodance.
It's connecting. Do you ever do Cosmodance
Yes,
family constellations.
Oh, yes. No, we do a lot of work together.
Yeah.
And we combine dance and constellations. There's actually a methodology of constellations called Movement of the Soul, which combines dance.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was
and
a lovely
soul's movement.
It was a lovely interview. I remember it being so relaxing afterwards.
After our dance.
Yeah. Which was on YouTube.
Was it?
It's yay. On the website. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
And on Facebook.
No, don't go look. Sure. Well, it's yeah, I mean once again my mind's been opened. It's like every Friday I learn something more. I find it hard to get my head around the past life and what happened to somebody else before is affecting my life today, because I like to have control, and I think a lot of people do. We don't like to think that things that we've had no control over are affecting our destiny.
Which things would you have had no control over?
Well, and maybe then I'm picking you up wrong, but you're saying something that's happened to somebody in your family before, a grandparent or in the past, is affecting your life
because you're allowing it to on some level.
What I'm saying is, if you have something going on now in this life, it might possibly have come from a time together that was in another life.
Yeah.
So say you have a child and you've got just this weird relationship and you just can't figure it out. You just, no matter what you do, logically, you just can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
One possible area of inquiry is to look at a past life possibility. You mm-hmm. know, maybe you mm-hmm. were, you know, I don't know, maybe you killed him in the last life. Mm-hmm. You know?
But that's exactly what I'm saying is, I think that a lot of people, and maybe this is why people are a little bit wary of anything in terms of the spiritual modalities, is people like to have control. And I don't like to think something I did that I wasn't aware of three lives ago is affecting me today. But that's what you're saying, is open your mind up to that and open your spirituality up to healing yourself, because you actually do have control. It's not losing control. You're taking back the control by doing what you're doing and trying to work through.
Yeah,
so an outcome could also be to share the control.
I'm not sure about the whole control thing. I mean, it would take some unpacking, but I think it's the sense of that everything that you does that you do has an impact, and that impact continues until you change it.
Exactly, and I think people like to think they're an island. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm in charge of my own life. I don't have to I don't have to be a certain way. I will be how I want to be, and forgetting that it impacts other people, and forgetting that what they do impacts on you. That's kind of what I'm trying to say, is we want to be in control of our own lives. We want to not think that other people can affect us or we can affect other people. I think we're learning more and more, but we've come from decades of being taught get on with it, you know. It's not the spiritual world, and there's no energies, and we are now learning that we are all connected and that there is a huge impact on how we affect other people's lives.
Yeah, and that is one of the gifts of the constellation, because you're working systemically. And the more that you can understand that your body is just like a cell phone, and it receives information from everywhere. So
that's such a hectic concept, hey?
And also, it links into not wanting to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Wanting to be in control.
Yes.
It's scary for a lot of people.
Very.
And confrontational to become vulnerable.
And having something else affect you. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I think it's tied to so the observer effect in quantum physics says that however you are thinking or perceiving things becomes the nature of your reality, essentially. So if you are, you know, wanting to work with whatever spiritual viewpoint, and you know, you go with that, then that becomes the way that your life is flowing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way that you'll experience life. It'll be like a window through which you look.
Mm.
And I talk a lot actually to people about the window of their perception. You know, if you're looking through this window without realizing where it's coming from, then you feel out of control.
Right.
You know, but it's in your own mind, it's in your own views and beliefs. In the way that you're looking at the world, that reflection is coming.
Right.
So you need to find ways to put the reflection out, maybe make adjustments, and then re-internalize it, and then your life will be reflecting differently.
Right.
So it's not really anything to be scared of, or you're not really out of control.
Makes sense, I get it. Thank you so much for coming in today, Amanda, and sharing.
It was lovely to meet both of you.
Your life with us. I mean, hectic studies that you've done, 15 to 20 years that you've shared with us in an hour. It's a bit hard, hey? I can see we were throwing these questions at you, and Amanda's like, what on earth?
I think our verbiage and our terminology is slightly different, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a big field to bring all these ideas together.
Yeah,
hey?
Yeah, definitely. Right, so you work out of Bryanston. Would you share any contact details with us?
Please? Sure. So you mean like cell phone?
Yeah.
And
how
all
does
of that?
How do we get hold of you?
So you can get hold of me on 078 499 6472. That's my cell phone.
Yep.
Or Amanda at Genius Lab.
Oh, that's a nice one. G E N I U S
L A B. .co.za, or you can go to my website amandagifford.co.za,
and it's GIFFORD.
That's it.
I'm writing this down. .co.za. Awesome, thank you.
No, it's a big field to bring all these ideas together.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah, definitely. Right, so you work out of Bryanston. Would you share any contact details with us?
Sure. So, you mean like cell phone?
Yeah.
How
does how do we get hold of you?
So you can get hold of me on 078 499 6472. That's my cell phone.
Yep.
Or Amanda at Genius Lab.
Oh, that's a nice one. G E N I U S
L A B. .co.za, or you can go to my website amandagifford.co.za.
And it's GIFFORD.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm writing this down. .co.za. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hope you have a wonderful weekend. And Janet, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me once again.
Yeah.
And namaste.
And see you tomorrow at the rugby. Are you coming to the rugby?
Oh, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Certainly am.
We've got a fantastic...
Going to fly the Eden AM flag.
In fact, Melissa gave me a printout of players to talk about it. Is this it? Yeah, okay, I'll do it after a little bit of music. And to Angela, if you're listening, we missed you today. Hope to see you next Friday. Right, that was Spiritually Speaking. Thank you for tuning in. And now I think we'll go to a little bit of music.